Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Have you ever found yourself just incredibly frustrated, or maybe even just to the point of anger, at the difference in sex drive that you and your spouse have? This comes up all the time to me in Instagram DMs and questions that people send to me. It's just, why did God make it this way? That my husband has this crazy high sex drive and I never want to have sex. Why couldn't our sex drives just be the same? If you've ever thought anything along those lines, today's episode is for you, because we're going to challenge you to do something you probably have never done when it comes to the disparity of sex drive between you and your spouse. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy, the sex and intimacy podcast for Catholic women. My name is Ellen Holloway, and I am a Catholic speaker and coach on a mission to help you enjoy and desire good and holy sex with your spouse. And today we are digging into the concept of thanking and praising God for the difference in your sex drive. And I am joined today by my always amazing semi-regular co-host, Kathleen Chavanis. Most commonly, I see comments from women, you know, my husband has a way higher sex drive than me. You know, what do I do? But this could be the other way around. But Kathleen and I both come from kind of that lower sex drive spouse position.
Yeah.
And being in that position, it can be so frustrating because it feels like you're constantly, you know, kind of being the gatekeeper and saying no. Or I think sometimes what happens too is that the higher sex drive spouse will just put sex on the lower sex drive spouse because they're tired of opening up that vulnerability of initiating. Mm-hmm. And so then the pressure is like unnecessarily placed entirely on the lower sex drive spouse, which is completely unfair and maybe a topic for another episode. But we'll see if we get into that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what we want those of you who are in that lower sex drive spot, what we want you to do is flip the script. Because it is actually an incredible blessing that your spouse has a higher sex drive than you do. It really is.
How is that possible, Ellen? How could that
Excuse
be?
Me? Look, we're always complaining. We're always complaining, like, why couldn't we just have the same sex drive? But that just, like, doesn't make sense. We're too different human beings. Like, no right. one's going to have the same sex drive, right? But here's what one spouse having a higher sex drive does, is it actually pushes the relationship forward and increases the amount of intercourse. And sex is a very good thing. It is a good and holy thing. When husband and wife come together in a free and open way, and they come together with the goal of love and the goal of self-gift, sex is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I mean, ideally, husbands and wives be having sex all the time because it's so good and it's so holy. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Ideally, yeah.
Right? But we don't, because our lives are stressful and we are in survival mode and our sex drive is low. But like, God created our sex drives. He created those, right? He created that physical sex drive. And we've talked about this on the podcast before. There's an episode I did by myself about your sex drive. So go back and look up that one. But, you know, desire for sex is not just a physical thing. It isn't. But the physical sex drive that we have is a God-given gift to, like, ignite that desire to unite together. Like, God created it so that husband and wife would want to have sex, would desire to come together. Because if we didn't have that physical sex drive, then, like, honestly, it'd be hard to get ourselves to have sex. And we know it's a good thing. Like, think about prayer. We don't have a physical drive to pray. We don't.
Yeah.
All we have is a spiritual drive, a desire to unite with our Creator, a desire to grow in holiness. We don't have something physically. Like, our shoulder doesn't start tingling when it's like, I want to pray. Like, your left pinky doesn't start swelling and getting erect, right?
Like, that is so funny. Wow.
And it's hard to pray, right? It's hard. It's hard to set that schedule and you know, pray every day and, you know, build that relationship. It's hard to do that. And we're constantly battling against praying.
Mm-hmm.
And so what an absolute gift that God created the sex drive, the physical sex drive. Like, what an absolute gift. Because otherwise, it would be so hard to ever know, like, to have sex. There'd be no, like, impetus. Is that the right word that I'm looking for? Like, there'd be no, like...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, just, there'd be no spontaneous desire to have sex. And you might be listening to this going, yeah, but I personally don't have any spontaneous desire to sex. So what? So what? Yeah. You can thank God for your husband's spontaneous desire to have sex that is pushing you guys toward actually having sex on a regular basis. Like, it's such a good thing. Okay. All right. I didn't realize how passionate
you got.
I was gonna get about that.
You got fired up. Yeah.
I really did.
Well, I think that, like, you know, we could have some lower sex drive women here listening being like, I don't know why we have to have sex. Like, I don't feel like we need to have sex, right? And of course you're feeling that because you're lower sex drive. And, like, I've been there, right? Like, I get that. So I think that the important point that should be made is that we need to focus on the good that sex brings to our marriage, right? Mm. So regardless of drive, like, let's think just tangibly about the good it brings. And I think that sometimes we with lower sex drives can feel like sex is nothing but, like, the higher sex drive spouse's needs being met.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I think it can feel that way. But as Catholic Christians, we know that it is not just about meeting needs. Right? Like, there is a spiritual reality to sex. Like, there's a reason that it mirrors prayer in so many ways, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's pointing to a spiritual reality. So I think that we need to focus that. So what does it do for our marriages? Right? Whether it's, like, particularly good or just, like, not that great, right? Like, it doesn't change the reality that spiritual needs and spiritual graces are flowing from that, right? And so that would be the first thing I would say, that, yeah, that we are receiving grace in our marriage every time we renew our wedding vows. I mean, we receive grace through the sacrament regardless, right? Like, we're just constantly receiving grace through our sacrament. However, like, the act of having sex, right? Like, like, more grace is poured upon your marriage as husband and wife come together.
Yeah, you're leaning into that more and kind of, you know, you can kind of just imagine, like, normally you've got this little, like, teacup that you're, like, collecting grace from your marriage, and, like, coming together openly in sex, you know, in this gift of self, you're like, now you got a bucket, right?
Yeah.
Now you have a bathtub that you're like collecting the graces with, like, because you're coming together and opening to each other. Mm-hmm. You are also opening to God even more, right? Like, our spouse is for us a little image of Christ and of Mary. You know, whether you're the man or the woman, right?
Yeah.
But also of God, of the, you know, eternal Trinitarian God who has no sex, right? Our spouse is an image of God for us, as well as an image of a perfect human. A perfect human male version is Christ. A perfect human female version is Mary. Now, they aren't perfect. They're an image for us of that. Don't put that on your spouse. I'm going to get on a little soapbox here again. Like, don't make your spouse have to be perfect for you, because they're not going to be, and they will disappoint you. And then everything will crash and burn. And that's why we see so much divorce, because we put this perfection on the person that we're married to, and we're like, they're going to complete me and it's going to be wonderful. And it's like, no, they're not going to complete you. In fact, Christ is going to complete you. God is going to complete you. Stop trying to make your husband complete you. All right, I'm going to step off the soapbox now. But when we open to our spouse, we are like, just by the nature of opening to our spouse, we are opening to God. Yeah. Right? When we open up, and we can even take this out of sex. Like, let's take this just into the intimate relationship of marriage. When you open up something to your spouse, when you open up a painful part of your past, when you open up a frustration, right? When you just open and have just good, deep conversation and really get to know your spouse and allow your spouse to get to know you, you are also getting to know God more. Mm-hmm. Why does the Bible call sex knowing?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're doing, because you're opening up to the other person. You're allowing them to get to know you. And that's what God wants us to do with him. He wants us to get to know him. And he wants us to open to God and allow him to get to know us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And our marriage helps us do that. Our marriage teaches us how to do that. And sex is like the most efficacious way that we can do that.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
It's great.
It's great. Another thing I would want to add that sex does spiritually is it fortifies our marriage and protects it from, like, from attack, right? I would say that for me personally, our, like, difference in drive is the number one thing that Satan tries to use to divide my husband and I.
I would say that's like the number one thing Satan does in, like, any marriage that
probably
has a disparity
most
of drive.
Marriages, right? Yeah, I mean, exactly.
It's the weakest point. Foundational point to just like drive a nail into, drive a wedge into.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, who was it? Was it Our Lady of Fatima that said that the final battle will be over, like, marriage and the family?
Mm-hmm. It was.
Right? Like, so we have to, like, she's not lying, right? Like, she's Mary. She's perfect. She doesn't lie, right? So that's not
we
made
know
up
that's
stuff,
true.
Right? So, I mean, I just think it's really helpful for anyone with the lower drive who just kind of feels like, I just don't see why this is, like, necessary or why it has to be so often, or remember that Mary said that, right? That the final battle will be over marriage and the family. And you don't need to look very far into today's culture to see how true that is coming to life. Okay. I mean, between divorce, every moral issue, right? Like, so many moral issues that we are facing today, right? And how it is a crazy world. And it is all focused on tearing down the traditional family, right? Mm-hmm. And it is all focused on sex and affairs and like everything, right? So it's so important to recognize that by entering into this act with your spouse, regardless of, like, I'm not going to say regardless of how you feel, like, your feelings are important, right? But, like, But every time you do, you are fortifying your marriage against that attack that is so prevalent. And you mm-hmm. can pretty much guarantee you will experience, if you haven't already, to some degree, right? Like, and that attack can be so confusing and it can be so hard. And everyone can feel that they're right. Both sides can feel that they're right. Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, where, you know, the place that we have gotten was this like insane and confusing, like we are both so willing to fix this, but we have no idea how. Right. And and I think that it's just like it seems impossible. Like, it's just like, how can we be so committed to fixing this, but have no direction on where to go? And praise God, like through the grace of God, we have like begun moving out of that, which is just, I mean, a phenomenal victory. But it took me recognizing that the reason we couldn't figure it out was because Satan was putting up a blinder like that. And it was really, I mean, we were in like a really bad week and I was so frustrated and I was getting mad at God because saying exactly what I just said, that like, you have never had two people more willing to figure this out. And mm-hmm. why can't we? And then it like came to me that it was just like, you can't because Satan is holding up a blinder and you're letting him, like you're not banishing him. And so that became my prayer. And I was just like, I banish him in the name of Jesus Christ from my marriage, from my sex life. I want him gone and super far away. And then all of a sudden, these other things were brought to light that it was just like, oh my gosh, that's been the core of the problem all along. And like, so you may not realize it, but you could very well right now be under attack by Satan via your sex life and your sexual differences. And we are meant to complement each other, not to be at odds with each other. Mm-hmm. So by sort of entering into that act with the prayer that like, Lord, let this unite us, let this fortify us, can change absolutely everything.
Really quick, before we get on with the rest of the episode, I just wanted to ask you that if this podcast has blessed you in any way, or you've learned something from this podcast, would you please rate and review this podcast? The reviews in particular really help people find this podcast and benefit from it. So I would be so grateful if you would rate and review the podcast.
Well, and let's dig into like that complementarity that you mentioned a little bit. And let's go back to the disparity of desire, this disparity mm-hmm. of sexual desire. There is a natural complementarity to how the male and female bodies desire sex that, if looked at as complementary, you can see just this beautiful dance. But if you look at it from a negative angle, you can see this like, God, why would you make it at odds mm-hmm. with each other? So let's talk about like biologically when men and women are more likely to desire sex. Men, sex is a survival instinct for men. If men are under attack, they're going to want to have sex because they want to continue their progeny. They want to create progeny. If a man thinks he's going to die, he's like, I want to have sex so that my bloodline continues, mm-hmm. right? If a woman thinks she's going to die, if she is in survival mode, if she is highly stressed, and let me just pause here that like, unfortunately in our society today, literally everyone is in survival mode.
Yeah.
If a woman is biologically stressed into survival mode and thinks she's going to die, her body thinks she's going to die, she's not going to want to have sex, because having a baby right now, being pregnant, would give her a higher chance of death, a lower chance of survival, because it takes a lot of effort for the female body to grow a baby, right? And then there is a baby after that that needs to be taken care of, right? So sex is not a survival instinct for women. And I'm talking about, again, just that physical drive only, not that deeper spiritual drive for mm-hmm. unity. And then flip it. When you're in a season of calm, when there is not stress going on, women are going to want to have sex because they know this is, I'm in a safe place. This is a safe time to get pregnant. I am interested in sex. Men are going to be less interested just naturally because it's, there isn't the survival instinct pushing them to like, I got to create more kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is beautiful complementarity in that.
Mm-hmm.
In that both situations of being highly stressed and being not stressed, that there is going to be this physical desire for sex present within the marriage. Mm-hmm. And it's going to come from different sides. And we can just praise God for that complementarity and recognize, like, what a gift that my husband right now wants to have sex with me and is encouraging us to lean into the graces of our marriage right now in the act of sex.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we are never going to advocate having sex when you like really don't feel like it, when you can't, when you're so exhausted, when you're completely touched out. We're not saying you always have to say yes to sex. That is right. Not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that we have to flip the script. We cannot just keep complaining about the disparity of sex drive, because that is how Satan is getting into your sex life. Okay. Amen. If you have ever felt like there is something just warring with your marriage, it's because there is.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly. Because
yeah.
Satan wants to destroy your marriage. Satan does not want you to have sex. He does not, because mm-hmm. he knows how powerful and how grace-filled the act of sex is. Yeah. Because it has the ability to not only unite a husband and a wife in the most intimate way possible here on earth, but it also has the ability to create new life.
Yeah.
Satan hates creation. He cannot create. He's an angel. Right? He doesn't have a mm-hmm. body. He does not have the ability to create. He can only twist and mangle what has already been created.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We as humans, as objectively lesser beings than the angels, if we're looking at like the hierarchy of, you know,
yeah, mm-hmm.
we are objectively less than angels, but we have this incredible ability to create. That God has, mm-hmm. angels cannot create. God bestowed this incredible ability that only he had, only the creator had the ability to create. He bestowed that ability on humans, the lesser person, the lesser species, right? And like Lucifer got pissed off. threw a little hissy fit.
Yeah. Through just a little one.
Just a little hissy fit. Okay, like, that ability is beyond comprehension. Like, do mm-hmm. we believe, that the ability to create human life is absolutely incredible and the best thing that we can do as humans? Do we actually believe that? Because that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we don't.
Yeah.
I think we don't, because we are so focused on trying to avoid pregnancy and getting our NFP rules correct. And, you know, why couldn't we just use birth control? And I have a serious reason to avoid pregnancy. And why can't my husband just get a vasectomy? Because it would be so much easier and there wouldn't be this stress. And we're so focused on getting sex without the baby's part.
Yes. Yeah.
That we've completely forgotten how beyond amazing, like beyond incredible, is the ability to create a new life.
Can I, so this is like sort of straying from the original topic at hand here.
Go for it.
But because you just said that, I can't not mention it because it's one of my favorite quotes. Have you ever heard of Venerable Joseph Cardinal Mazzenti?
I don't think so.
He has this phenomenal quote that I have posted like at my kitchen sink so that when I'm feeling like super overwhelmed by motherhood, I read it. Usually when I'm doing the dishes. You ready? The most important person on earth is a mother. She cannot claim the honor of having built Notre Dame Cathedral. She need not. She has built something more magnificent than any cathedral. A dwelling for an immortal soul. The tiny perfection of her baby's body. The angels have not been blessed with such a grace. They cannot share in God's creative miracle to bring new saints to heaven. Only a human mother can. Mothers are closer to God the Creator than any other creature. God joins forces with mothers in performing this act of creation. What on God's good earth is more glorious than this? To be a mother.
Mm.
Isn't that great?
That is fabulous. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, I just love it because it does say, like, the angels have not been blessed with such a grace, you know? And yeah. You're right. Like, I think we do. We focus so much on the rules of NFP. And I say we because I'm included in that, right? Like, I fall into that regularly, right? Just like, oh, nope, here's... But I think that it's so important that we focus not on our preferred ideal, right, within our marriage regarding children and timing and all that kind of stuff, but that it's fine to have that, especially when it's, you know, it's actually prudent to have that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are also so many more times where your marriage just might need sex. I say this to people all the time that, you know, sometimes your marriage needs sex more than you need to not have a baby. And I think that we need to be more trusting and more open in those situations where it is like where we can recognize the good in you, like you said, the complementarity and the good in our opposite sex drives and trust in our husband's desire and thank God for it. Because sometimes it's his desire that might be like, you know what? I don't really like this isn't what I would go for right now, but I can see how much this is needed, right? And maybe we do. We just lay the rules aside for a day because we recognize that our marriage needs this and it needs it now, right? Mm-hmm. And then you just trust in God, right? Like, Lord, whatever you want to come of this, if you want this to be physically fruitful, if you want it to just be spiritually fruitful, I'm just going to trust in you. Whatever you want. Yeah. I don't know.
I think ending on trust is huge, and it takes a lot to trust our mm-hmm. husband's sex drive. Like that's a big ask.
Agreed.
Because I think a lot of times it can feel like lust. It can feel like use.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like we need to recognize that God put this person in our life. He put this marriage together, and that we can trust our husband. Again, we are never advocating for abuse. We are never advocating for you to say yes to sex if you don't want to. Yeah. It should always be a free and total gift, a gift mm-hmm. of self. You give a gift. A gift is not taken. But what we are saying is that you can trust your husband. It takes a lot of work to trust your husband's sex drive if that is your disparity of sex drive. If you're the other way around, maybe it's the other way around.
Right, yeah.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.